Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma, Masechta Sukkah, Daf Yud Gimel, and we're going to begin on Daf Yud Beis, Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Amar of Yehuda, Hani Shushi v'Shiftzri. Shushi and Shiftzri are different types of herbs, Masachim b'hu. We're allowed to use them as a schach. As we've learned, the two requirements that we need to have for schach is that it should be the dulam and aret, something that grows from the ground. Ain't a makabel tumah, it's not makabel tumah. Food, as we've learned so many times, is makabel tumah. However, shifshi v'shiftzri are herbs that were generally not eaten. And since they're herbs that are generally not eaten, they're not considered food, and they obviously grow from the ground, and that's why you're allowed to use it for a schach. And the Meiri explains, what's the Gemara teaching us? He explains that even if you find that there are certain people that do eat these herbs, or if you'll find that animals eat these herbs, the fact is that this is not generally considered a food, therefore it's not mekabel tumah, and therefore it may be used for schach. He says that the only time something is considered a food that it may not be used for schach is if it's always used as a food, at least in a certain location. Abayama says Abaye, b'shushi mesachachin, you're allowed to use shushi, b'shiftzri lo mesachachin, you're not allowed to use shiftzri. My tam, not because of the food aspect or the kabbalah tumah aspect. Kiven the sari rechayu, since they give off a bad odor, shavak luvenofik, people will not remain in a sukkah that has a bad odor. So as the Mishnah Berurah explains, if the odor is very bad, that nobody would remain in the sukkah at all. Midaraisa, that sukkah is a disqualified sukkah. If we're dealing with a situation where the odor is bad, but it's not intolerable, so then some Rishonim still say that the sukkah is disqualified, and other Rishonim say that it's disqualified with Rabbonon, and they go even further, with Machlokes Rambam and Rosh, that the Rambam holds that b'di'eved, it's okay, and the Rosh holds that even though it's possible only with Rabbanon, it's not acceptable with the Eved. There's a machloikis, how to understand what the Rambam means when he says it's not, that it's acceptable with the Eved. Some of Farshim say with the Eved means that we know that the first night of Sukkah, you have to eat in the Sukkah. So if somebody ate in such a Sukkah, the first night of Sukkah, with the Eved, he's been Mekayim, the Mitzvah, and he doesn't have to eat over. Others explain much more lenient approach to b'di'evid. They say if somebody built a sukkah this way, and then he already had it built, and it's before sukkahs, but it's a bother to have to go build a sukkah again, he doesn't have to build a sukkah again, and he can use that sukkah. Says the Ran, that this din that the Gemara says regarding the roof, regarding the schach, the same din applies to the walls. That the walls of the sukkah may not be made out of a material that gives off a bad odor. That's how the Ran learns. Other Rishonim say, if the Gemara meant the walls also, the Gemara should have said the walls. The Gemara only speaks about the schach, not about the walls. So they say, Doruch Lener says, that those Rishonim learn that you're allowed to, the walls may be made out of a material that gives off a bad odor. Why, Takir, is there a difference, asked the Doruch Lener, between the walls and the schach? So Doruch Lener gives two reasons. One, he says, is by the walls, let's say the walls are giving off a bad odor. So you could put up a piece of material to separate yourself from the walls and block the odor. But on the roof, as we've learned, they weren't allowed to put up a piece of material. That was, we learned the Mishnah. It would disqualify the sukkah. So therefore, Chazal were more machmer on the schach than on the walls. That's one explanation. Another explanation, Doruch Lener gives, he says, it's more likely that schach should be a material that gives off a bad odor. And therefore, Chazal had to make a gzeira that if schach is made out of a material that gives off a bad odor, it should not be used. Walls are generally not made out of material that give off bad odor. So even if you'll have a situation that the walls of your sukkah are perhaps giving off a bad odor, that's a milsud l'shchicha, it's not common. And we know throughout halacha, the concept is, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Bar Avchanan, Hani Hizni V'Higi, Here's Rebbe Higgy, different types of bushes, mesachin bo, may be used for schach. Abai Omer, behizmi mesachinon, we may use hizmi, however, behigi la mesachinon, we may not use higi. Ask the Gemara, my Tami, why not? Says the Gemara, kivin the nasri terfayu, since the leaves fall down, shavuk luhuvenofik. A person is not going to remain in the sukkah where the schach is falling down. Explains the Mishnah Berurah. What does it mean that the schach falls down? He says it's only in a situation when a ruach mitzuya, when a regular wind, the schach falls. But if it's not under normal circumstances that the schach will fall, that doesn't become disqualified. Moreover, says the Prima Godim, it matters what does falling down mean. So explains the Prima Godim, if the schach will fall down to the degree that by the end of Sukkot, by the end of the 7 days of Sukkot, your schach is gone, that is possible, very likely midoraisa. However, if it's only a situation where the schach will fall to the degree that now, till now was tzilsam ruba mechamsa, and now over yontav schach will fall that it's chamsam ruba mitzilsa, it's certainly not possible midoraisa. It's only a question of the Rabbanon, and it could even well be that as long as it hasn't fallen down, we may sit in the sukkah. Continues the Gemara. Om Rav Gidla Merav. Hai Afkusa de Dikla. These are the branches that come off a date palm. Mesach Chinebo. You may use them. Afgav Dagidi. Eg B'dei Shmei'ayim Lo Shmei Eged. As we learned, and we will still learn in Mitzvah today, in the previous year, a bundle of schach, you're not allowed to use bundles. So here we have, and this is why we're trying to explain it in a very practical way. We have a branch or a trunk with different branches coming out of it. So it's kosher schach. The issue is, if you take that whole tree as it is and put it on top of the sukkah, your problem is going to be that you're going to have a lot of blank spaces, empty spaces between the branches. So what does the person do? He'll take all the branches and bend them up towards the middle of the trunk, tie it together, and like that, it's a nice piece of schach. Says the Gemara, since the bottom or main connector is not based on my tying it together, it's actually based because it has one trunk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that way, there is no concern. Hai afkusa d'dikla, mesach chinba, we could use it for schach. Afgav dagidi, even though ultimately it's tied together, eged b'dei shemayim lo shmei eged. That's not considered tied together. And says the Gemara, Afgav the Hadar Agid Lahu, even though ultimately I do tie it, Igid Bechad Lo Shmei Egid. Just making one bundle is not considered tying. Ask the Sfasem Stavi's question. If the Gemara is teaching us that because I only made one tying, that's not called tying, so what's the difference about Egid B'dei Shemayim or not? The point is that the Gemara is saying the one tying is not enough of a tying. Says the Sfasem, the way we need to understand the Gemara is that these two things are connected. Why is Igad Bechad Loishmei Eged? Why is one not enough? Because really I'm not accomplishing much. Why am I not accomplishing much? Because Eged B'dei Shemayim Loishmei Eged, it's not connected by me, it was connected Min HaShemayim. So even though afterwards I went and I tied it together, what I did is not that significant, and therefore, it's not a problem. Amar Rav Chizda, similar Gemara, Amar Rav Chizda, Amar Rav Beshena. Hani Dukri Dekani. These are the branches that come out of a cane branch. Mesach Kinebo. Maybe used for schach. And again, Afgav the Gideninu, even though I tie those branches together, says the Gemara, Eged B'dei Shemayim Lo Shmei Eged. And Afgav the Hada Oged Lehu, even though ultimately we do tie it together, Eged B'chad, that one bundle, Lo Shmei Eged. Because one is talking about a date and one is talking about a cane. Different types of branches. That's the best answer I have. Tanya Nami Hachi, Kanim V'dukanim, cane and date branches, Mesachinim Behu. Asmar Kanim Pshita, why not? If you have just a piece of wood, why should it be disqualified? And says the Gemara, Eim Kanim Shodukanim, Mesachinim Behu. Says the Gemara, goes off the topic of Sukkah for a couple of lines here. Amram Chizdam Ravina Bar Shela, Hani Merurisa Da Agma. The maror that grows by the swamp, Adam Yotz Ben Yudei Chavos BePesach, may be used to be Mekayim Mitzvah Maror on Pesach. Ask the Sfasemis, why not? The Torah tells us that in Pesach by now we have to eat maror. What's the definition of maror? It has to be a bit of vegetable. To remind us, v'yimaror es chayayim, our life in Mitzrayim. So what's the difference if it grows in a swamp or it grows anywhere else? If it's bitter, it's bitter. It says this Fasemis. The Gemara Masechet Pesachim, we learned it Baruch Hashem together. The Mishnah discussed it. The Gemara discusses it. Various vegetables that can be used for maror. Says the Sassemis, we need to understand that Gemara a lot deeper. It's not that the Gemara was giving us examples, the Mishnah was giving us examples of what vegetables are possibly usable for maror. The Mishnah was teaching us that these vegetables and only these vegetables may be used for maror. Therefore, the Gemara is teaching us here that perhaps Marisa the Agma, even though it's a type, it's a vegetable that's mentioned in Masechet Pesachim, but it's already a variation, it grows in a swamp, may not be one of those vegetables, it may not be used. Meisvei asked the Gemara, Ezoiv, v'loy Ezoiv Yovan. The halach is, many times, the Torah tells us, if I remember correctly, it's four times, but the Torah tells us that we have to spritz on a person something, and we have to use this grass, Ezoiv grass, we'll describe it more on the bottom of the Amid, to accomplish that spritzing. One time is an example by Mitzayra. Another example is by somebody who becomes Tamei Meis, and we spritz on him the Meichatos. So we have to use a Ezoif. Says the Mishnah Masechet Parah, Ezoif, v'loy Ezoif Yavon. Ezoif Yavon is a type of grass. Some say it's bitter, sometimes it grows in Yavon. V'loy Ezoif Kuchli, again, some explain that it comes from a place called Kuchli. Others explain that it has a bluish tinge. V'loy Ezoif Midbari, v'loy Ezoif Roimi. Any grass that's not just called Ezoif, it's called Ezoif with a suffix, is unacceptable. So ask the Gemara, why by Maror are we allowed to use Marisa da Agma, even though it has a suffix? And the Torah says Maror. And why by Ezoif, where the Torah says Ezoif, does the Mishnah Masechta Parah teach us that if it has any suffix, if it has any other name, not acceptable? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya. Kol sh'nishtana sh'moi koidim matan Torah. Anything that these types existed before the Torah was given. Ubas the Torah v'gbidalav. And the Torah came and said, I want you to use one thing and not the other. V'idu sh'yesh l'shem levai. V'hani lo nishtai yishmai kardim matan Torah klal. So the explanation is as follows. The Gemara is saying that all these different types of Ezoifs, Ezoif Yoivon, Ezoif Roimi, all these different types of Ezoifs existed when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to use Ezoif. And if the Torah tells us use Ezoif and nothing else, what the Torah is telling is, I know these other types of Ezoif exist, but I don't want you to use them. I only want to use the plain Ezoif. However, Ezoif the Agma wasn't in creation, Maror the Agma, I'm sorry, wasn't in creation when the Torah was given, and therefore it's not that the Torah said, I want you to use Maror in exclusion of Maror the Agma, that there was no Maror d'Agma to exclude. Ask the Tiferes Yisrael of Gevalda Gekasha. He says, we all know, the Gemara says, that how was Rome created? That when Shlomo HaMelech married the Bas Paroi, the king of Egypt's daughter, at that point the Malach came and put a stick into the ocean, and from that ultimately Rome was created. So Ezoif Roimi wasn't in existence by Matan Torah. What are we saying? That the Torah told us, use Ezoif. You have an opportunity to use Ezoif and use Ezoif Roimi. I only want you to use Ezoif, don't use Ezoif Roimi. There's no Ezoif Roimi. There was no Rome. So answer the Tiferes Yisrael, that Ezoif Roimi doesn't mean that it comes from Rome. It does come from Rome. But it's a type of Ezoif that has a distinct taste. And that Ezoif generally grows in Rome. But it was in existence when the Torah was given. At that time it wasn't growing in Rome, obviously, because there was no Rome. But it was in existence in the world with a different name. That's what all these things were in existence. However, Marisa the Agma, according to this Teretz, didn't exist at all. The Gemara gives a different Teretz now. Rav Amar, Hani Marisa Stam Shmai. The Maror that grows in the swamp is really regular Maror. For Hai the Karle Marisa the Agma, why is it called Marisa the Agma? Mishunun Shtakach Ba'agma. It's found by the swamp. So the way that Chochmah Shloim explains the Gemara is as follows. He's saying Marisa the Agma is the regular Maror. It's just when Rav Chisda would tell his Talmidim or his people, bring Maror, he would tell them, where could you find it? It's like if somebody came to us and asked us, I want to buy Maror for Pesach. You know a good place to buy it? So you tell them, whatever supermarket or whatever store you could find it. Here too, he was telling them, you know where you could easily find Maror? You could easily find Maror, but Agam. Not because Agam means a specific type of Maror. That's where Maror is available. And since it doesn't mean a specific type of Maror, that's why it's acceptable for Pesach. Before we go to the next Gemara, I saw a Chassid Shavart from the Meshiloyach. Meshiloyach is the Ishbitzer. He says, why is the Ezov? Why did the Torah tell us to use Ezov? The Torah tells us to use Ezov because Ezov is a very low grass. The Torah is telling us that whether the person became Tamei or the person Metzairah, he should become an Onov. It should remind him to be humble. Says the Ishbitzer, Ezov lay Ezov Yovan. A person sometimes is humble because he's Yovan. Yovan represents Chochma. I'm smarter, so that's why I act modestly. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm so much smarter than you. Layez of Kuchli. Kuchli means blue. He's a phony. He's a faker. He's not really an Onov. He's an Onov because he's really not an Onov. He's just fooling people. Ez of Midbari is that the person's not really an Onov. He's Midbari. He just stays away from everybody. Ez of Romi is on the contrary. He's an Onov because I'm a Roman. Roman are known to be Bali Gaiva. They stayed away from everybody. So it seems that I'm humble. I don't say anything. Yeah, because I'm better than you. Says the Gemara, V'lay Ezov Sheish Levai. When the Torah wants us to be humble, it wants pure and sincere humility, not a humility that comes from another outside inappropriate reason. Says the Gemara, Amar of Chizda, Iged B'chad, Loi Shmei Eged. If we just tie, we spoke about this earlier on the Amid, if we just tie one bundle together, it's not considered tying together. Igat shalosh, tying three things together, shmei eged, is certainly considered tying together. So before we go further, the Rishayim all ask a question. Yesterday, Tosfos, on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, the Baron Tosfos, Chavili Zardin, said that how much is considered a bundle? He said if you put 25 things together, it's considered a bundle. Here the Gemara is saying, three things are already a bundle. So some Rishonim actually say it's Machloikis Bavli and Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says you need 25 things to be considered a bundle, and the Bavli holds three is already a bundle. However, other Rishonim say there's no Machloikis. The Tosfos that was quoting the Yerushalmi in the previous blot was discussing when you have sticks. Each stick is one stick. So the Yerushalmi holds that when is it considered a bundle? When you have 25 sticks together. Less than that is not a bundle. Here we're dealing with branches that have a lot of offshoots off the main branch. So there's a lot of things, there's a lot of branches going on, that's why when you already have three branches, it's considered a bundle. Tosfos asks that the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos that Asara Shiyoshvim V'oizkim B'Torah, if 10 people sit and learn Torah Shechina B'nehem, Shnem Elokim Nitzah B'das Keil, or Menayin Afil Chamisha, how do you know even if 5 people are sitting and learning Torah together, the Shechin is there? Shnemar v'agudosoy al eretz yisoda. So it says that what's an aguda? 5. And here it says 3 is an aguda. So first Tosfos tries to say perhaps the girsa, the proper version in Pirkei Avos should be 3. But Tosfos says that's not true, the version is 5. So Tosfos says, Tosfos' answer is, that really, like our Gemara says, a bundle is 3. However, there, the Torah is specifically telling us that it's an exception to the rule, and you need 5. Why? Because the pasuk that is quoted in that Mishnah says, Af yodai yozda oritz. How many fingers are there in a hand? 5. So there, the Torah is telling us specifically, you need 5. So that's what the Torah says. Everywhere else, 3 is indeed a bundle. The Pnei Yeshua says a very interesting answer. He says, What are we discussing here? We're talking about the bundle that's used to spritz the mechatis or whatever. The bundle that we spritz has 3 stalks, as we're going to learn in a moment. But it really has 5 things, because they also have to include the eitz erez and the shni talas. So if you add the eitz erez and the shni talas to the 3 stalks, we have the same 5 as we have in Pirkei Avos. Shnayim. So it says again the Gemara, Amar Rav Chizda, Ige b'chad, loy shmei eged. Sholosh, shmei eged. Shnayim, if you have 2 things together, it's machloikis. Machloikis Rav Yosi Rabbanan. That's not. The Mishnah says, again in Masech Deparah, mitzvahs ezoiv shloshe kolochim. The mitzvah is to use 3 vegetables, just to familiarize ourselves with some words. Kalachim means the vegetable, and gevoilim means the stalk. Mitzvahs ezer shloisha kalachim, ubehen shloisha gevoilim. And each one should have a stalk. And as Tosfos explains, it's not, each vegetable should have its own stalk. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, mitzvahs ezer shloisha gevoilim. You should have three vegetables. V'shi'or of shnayim. But if you start with three and you're left with two, it's acceptable. And moreover, the gadum of kolshu. If you start and you're just left over with a little bit, that's also enough. When is it considered shirayim, that two is enough or kolshu is enough? Explain to Mefarshim if you used it once. If you use this bundle once and then it starts to fall apart or you lose some, that's acceptable. But if before you ever used it, you already lost, that's not called shirayim. And that's not called gadumim. Says the Gemara. So we have a machloikas Rabbanan Rabbi Yossi, but we're not exactly sure who holds what. Says the Gemara. Kusalka Daitan, they thought, midishra of shnayim, since Rabbi Yossi tells us that if you're left over with two, that's acceptable, obviously Rabbi Yossi holds, tchilosoy na mishnayim, that you only need to have two to start. Ay, v'hodik tani shloisha, it says you should start with three. Lemitzvah. Lechatchili, you have to start with three. But Rabbi Yossi holds if you started with two, it's just fine. Umid Rabbi Yossi shloish lemitzvah. If Rabbi Yossi holds that three is only a mitzvah, min a mufchur, but if you don't have three, it's acceptable. Rabbonon are obviously going to hold shloish l'akif, that the three you have to have are essential. And if you don't start with three, you're not yoytzeh. Ask the Gemara, V'tanya, there's a brayse that says just the opposite. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ezoiv, Tchilosoi Shnayim, V'shirav Echad. So he says that two is enough to start. Possible. Then it's not good. V'ein Akosha, Che Tchilosoi Shlosh V'shirayim Shnayim. So here we see Rabbi Yossi clearly says that you have to start with three, not because it's a mitzvah, it's essential. So says the Gemara, Epech. Rabbi Yossi Shlosh Shalakev. Rabbi Yossi is going to hold that three are essential. And if you start with less than three, it's unacceptable. Rabbanon, shloish lemitzvah. And Rabbanon hold that you have to start with three, that's only lechatchila, but if you start with two, it's fine. Says the Gemara Vatanya. Here Vatanya is not a kasha, Vatanya is a raya. A raya that's the right way of explaining the machloikes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanon. Ezoif, tchilosa shnayim, you start with two, v'shiyar of echad, but if you're left over with one, kosher. So here it says clearly you could start with two, according to Rabbanan. But not as another line in this braisa. It's only disqualified if you start with two and end with one. Ask the Gemara. Here it says, that if you're left with one, it's unacceptable. Shirav Echad Pasul was saying it's unacceptable. But the line before said, v'shirav Echad Kasher. Ha'amr shirav Echad Kasher. So the first line says that if you're left with one, it's fine. And the next line says if you're left with one, it's not fine. How do you explain those two lines that write one, those two sentences that follow each other? Says the Gemara, the way to understand this first sentence is as follows. What the first sentence of the Brice is teaching us is, if you start with the number of stalks, that if that were the number you were left with, it would be acceptable. For starting, it's unacceptable. So for being left over, how much is acceptable? One. So the Brice is teaching us, if you start with what you're allowed to be left over with, that means if you start with one, it's unacceptable. So the Brice indeed holds that, according to Rabbanan, you should use three lemitzvah, two are essential, and if you're left over with one, it's acceptable. Mekivega asks Akasha. He says, if you take out the Mishnayis, Masech Tepora, the Mishnayis there says that if you don't have a bundle, it's acceptable. So here we're making a whole back and forth, how many you need, three, two, one. There it says if you don't put them into a bundle, it's all acceptable. So the Mefarshim answered Bikvega's question in the following way. You don't have to have a bundle, but you have to have the right amount to make a bundle. And the concept the Mefarshim says is we have many times in halacha concept, Kol haroi lebila ein bila makeves bo. The halacha is that we have to make a carbon mincha out of different ingredients. Preferably, those ingredients should be mixed up. But if they're not, it's acceptable. However, when is that halacha applicable. If you could mix them if you wanted to. You have the right amount and the right keli. But let's say you have so much that it wasn't mixable, then it's not acceptable. Here too, you don't have to tack a time together, but you have to have the right amount that if you wanted to do it properly, you could. Continues the Gemara. Darsh Mura'ima. Hani Asuraisa the Sura. Asuraisa the Sura is when they used to sell bundles of sticks in the market in Sura, they used to tie them together. Mesachinaba. We're allowed to use it for schach. Even though, Afgav the Ogdon, and yesterday we learned that the halach is you're not allowed to use a bundle for schach. Here, it's Leminyan ba'almahu the Ogdon. It's only tied together because it's easy to count. So Rashi says they just do it for convenience, that they tie it together. It doesn't have any real permanence. Other Rishonim say when they carry the sticks, they don't keep them tied together. So it's certainly not a permanent bundle, and therefore it's permissible. Amr of Abba, Hani Tsrifi Dorbani. This is diagram 70 on page 24. Urbani the Tsrifi, Tsrifi Dorbani were these types of huts that people who used to go catch birds would build, and they would hide in this hut until they got the until the bird came, and like that they would come out and catch the bird. Now, as you'll notice in this diagram, it's tied together on the top. It has like a, it looks like a tent, like a teepee. It's tied together on the top, and it's also tied together on the bottom. Says the Gemara, Hani Tsrifi de Urbani, Kivin Shehutri Rosh Madana Shalem. Once they untie the upper knot, Sherim. Ask the Gemara, V'agidim Tatoi, what does it help that I untie the top? They're still tied from the bottom. Answers the Gemara, the Sharalahu, that they untied the bottom also. So as the Rishonim explained, if you untie the top and you untie the bottom, so it's just regular pieces of wood, what's the discussion? So they explain, what happened here is they untied the top, and the bottom they untied, but as the picture seems to show, they're still braided together. And that braid is still there. So one may think, since they are still braided on the bottom, albeit that they're untied on top, and albeit that they're untied on the bottom, that should not be enough, teaches us the Gemara, that if they're untied on top, and they're untied on bottom, that's enough to be considered that they're separate and usable. Rav Huna Breid of Yeshua says a bigger chiddush. I feel time of the loy shari lehu. Even if they're not untied, kol egich and also l'taltala, if that's not the way it's going to be carried, it's only tied together for while it's in place, while the person who's trying to catch the birds is there, Lashmei Eged, it's not considered something that's permanently tied together. And as we learned a moment ago, something that's not permanently tied together is not considered tied. Amr of Abba Amr Shmuel. Yerokish Amr Chachomim. Adam Yotbem Yedei Chavos with Pesach. The different types of vegetable that Chazal said could be used to, for the vegetable of Moror on Pesach. Mevinas Atoma Vein Choytis Mifnei Atoma. So this is the way Rashi and Tosfos explain the Gemara. The other day we learned the halacha, that if there's an oil, if there's a roof over a mace, as we explained it that day, it's good news and bad news. The anything that's under the same roof will become tamei. So if we have a roof over a mace, and on one side is the mace, and anything else is under the same ceiling, so to speak, under the same oil, will become tamei. But on the other hand, that oil prevents any tumma from going above the tap. Says the Gemara here, that if we have one of these vegetables that we use for Moror on Pesach, it only has a chumra, not a kula. The chumra is that under the same, that since it's under the same roof, so it makes a tumma soil. So if there will be a big vegetable, imagine a big vegetable with a kazayis mace under one end of the leaf, and something else is under that leaf, it will become tamei, tumas oil. But on the other hand, since it's a flimsy vegetable that's ultimately going to wither away and not have any real existence, it can't serve as a mechitza from preventing the tumah to go up. So again, the way Rashi and Tosfos was explaining is like this. Midarais, it's truly an oil. And since midarais, it's truly an oil, anything that's under the same oil becomes tamei. The Rabbanon said to us that because we know ultimately it's going to wither away, That's why it cannot serve as an oil to be a chatzitza from preventing the tumas from going up. That's why Rashi and Tosfos explain. Ask Tosfos, the halacha is that the only thing that could serve as a chatzitza from preventing tumah from going up is something that's not makabel tumah. This vegetable is a food. A food, as we discussed at the beginning of the shiur, is makabel tumah. Anything that's not makabel tumah can't, anything that's makabel tumah can't be mechitza. Answers Tosfos that the vegetable we're talking about was never exposed to water. And as we learned so many times, any food that is not exposed to water is not makabel tumah. So we're talking about a vegetable that is not makabel tumah. Upaistum besukkah. On the other hand, it can't be used for schach, mishum aver, because it's considered like empty space. My tama, kivin dul chiyashi. Since ultimately, as we said a moment ago, these vegetables will dry up, wither away. Parchi v'nafli, they're considered like the not there, k'mas les nudami. And as the Rishonim explain, and we're going to speak about it a lot as we move forward in the Masech to Be'ezer Hashem, there's a difference in halacha between empty space in a sukkah and poslus schach. Poslus schach is 4 tfachim. Empty space is 3 tfachim, disqualified. Says the Gemara, that even though I have the vegetable here, even though I have the vegetable here, it's considered, and it's really poslus schach, I don't treat it like poslus schach, that it becomes tameh with 4 tfachim. I treat it like empty space, and it becomes poslus with 3 tfachim. Ask the Rishonim, we just finished explaining that this is not poslus schach, that this food wasn't mukshel kabel tumah. When is food poslus for schach? When it's makabel tumah, because as we learned so many times, something that's makabel tumah is not kosher for schach. But if we explained that this vegetable, it wasn't washed, and it's not makabel tumah, so it's certainly not poslus schach. Says the Sfasem, it's a very big chiddush. He says, even if we're dealing with a vegetable that wasn't washed, since it's the type of material that is ultimately royal kabel tumah, it could be kabel tumah when it's washed, so then it can't be schach. So the Sfasem has asked the obvious question. By tumah, we don't say that ultimately it could become a kabel tumah. We look at it as of now. If it was washed, it's makabel tumah. If it wasn't washed, it's not makabel tumah. Yet by schach, we're using a very different measuring stick. And by schach, we're saying we have to look. Since it could be washed, it's already possible. Where's the equality here? Says the Sfasem, it's a beautiful pshat. He says, by Kabbalah's tumah, the Torah told us a very clear din. If it was washed, it's makabel tumah. If it wasn't washed, it's not makabel tumah. By schach, the Torah didn't talk about Kabbalah's tumah. The Torah didn't talk if it was washed or not washed. The Torah, as we learned in the previous year, spoke about psoilus goyren v'yakas. That is what is schach. When you have a vegetable, is it psoilus goyren v'yakas? The answer is it's not psoilus goyren v'yakas. The fact that this particular vegetable that I have in front of me wasn't washed, and maybe this vegetable may be somewhat more similar to regular schach, it's still not psoilus goyren v'yakas. And the Torah says that what is schach? Psoilus goyren v'yakas. And that's why, even though when it wasn't washed, it's not yet, it's already not acceptable for tumah, it's psoilus schach. But there's a very interesting machloikis, Rav Kiva Eger and the Bikurei Yaakov, on this Gemara. The Gemara is saying that a vegetable is considered empty space. Really, it's psoilus schach, but the Gemara is saying don't treat it like psoilus schach, treat it like empty space. Ask Rav Kiva Eger, ask the following shaila. Let's say we'll have a sukkah with 2 tfachim of psoilus schach and 2 tfachim of vegetable right next to each other. So if I consider the vegetable poslus chach, I have 4 tfachim of poslus chach, and the sukkah is disqualified. If I treat it like air, then I have only 2 tfachim of poslus chach, and 2 tfachim of air, neither itself is posl. So Rav Kiva Eger says that when our Gemara says that we're treating this vegetable like air, it's only l'chumra, not to teach us a kula. So here where it's a chumra to say that this vegetable is poslus chach, which it truly probably is, especially the way we explain. So the Kivega, the sukkah has four tefachim, a posel eschach, and it's posel. The Bikur Yaakov says you can't go halfway in life. He says, if our Gemara decided that a vegetable is considered ear, the Gemara decided it that way, both l'kula and l'chumra. And therefore, here, even though here, by treating it as ear, I'm going to have a kosher sukkah. Had I treated it like I probably should, as posel eschach, I have a posel sukkah, you can't, it's either or. And now that I identified it as ear, the sukkah will be kosher. There's a concept in Hilchas Tumah called Yodos. Yodos means that the stem or the handle of something is considered connected to the item. And the halacha is that if something tamei touches the yad, in other words, we'll give the examples the Gemara uses, those are the best examples. One is the stem of a grape. You have the stem coming out of the grape. So that's called the yad of the grape. Or if you have the stem of a grain, that's diagram 71. The halach is if tuma touches the yad, not only is the yad tamei, but that tuma extends to the grain itself. Not only is the stem of the grape tamei, but the grape itself becomes tamei. Says the Gemara. V'amrav Abba Amrav Huna, haboitz lagas. If somebody is cutting grapes because he wants to make wine and he needs the grapes, and yodos, the stem of the grapes are not considered yodos. Why? As the Gemara will explain in a moment, he doesn't really want those stems there because he doesn't want to get the stems into the wine. So then they don't have a status of yodos. Continues the Gemara. Rav Nashia bar Gada Amar Rav Huna, hakoitz l'schach. If somebody is cutting these sheaves of grain, diagram 71, to use schach, ein lo yodos. Also, those handles are not considered a yad, says the Gemara. Manda makoitzer, if somebody says that if I don't want, that the yad of grain is not considered a yad, koshkein boitzer. Certainly, the stem of a grape is certainly not a yad. Why? The lay nichlei, the lay nimtzlei chamri. Certainly, anyone that's preparing using grapes to make wine doesn't want those stems. You don't want to have stems. You don't want to have pieces of stem in your wine. So if we say that you don't want the stems by the schach, it's already not a yad. Certainly, you want even less the stems of the grape when you're making wine, and they're not considered a yad. However, mandam abaytz shein layodus. However, the mandam that says that when you're taking off that stems of grapes are not considered yad, of course, that's very understandable. As we said, you don't want those stems. Mandam boitz shein layodus avakoytza yesh layodus. That doesn't mean that this yad of the wheat is not considered a yad. Why? The nichale the lasach buhu. A person doesn't mind having those stems there. In order that they shouldn't fly away. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that these stems serve to protect the weight inside the sheaves of grain. And after sukkahs, you may want to use them. And therefore, even now, you have a need for them. And that's why they're considered yodos. Taisa says these stems help weigh down the schach. And you don't want your schach to fly away. So again, this mandama holds that something you want, and since something you want, it's considered a yad, and it's tamei. If the vegetable becomes tamei, or vice versa, if they become tamei, they pass the tumah on to the actual grain also.